for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, December the 28th, 2007. Clement Humbard is the speaker of the morning, teaching on What is Man?
Because of the length of the scripture, I will not ask you to stand for the reading, but it's 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Now concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were heathen, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God who worketh all in all. For the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits. To another, kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the very same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jew or Greek, whether it be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an ear or an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given even abundant honor to that part which is lacked, that there should be no schism or division, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honorable, honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Verse 28, and God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding bronze or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Please stand to your feet for this prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your eternal word. We know it's not by might or power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We welcome the ministry of thy Holy Spirit in this room from the beginning to the end. May the blessed Holy Spirit of God have right of way. Give us spiritual understanding that we might hear God's divine truth. Out of self into God, out of fear into faith, out of the earthly into the heavenly. Bring glory and honor to thy own name. After everything is said and done, may no man be seen except that lowly Nazarene, Jesus Christ our Savior. No voice heard except that still small voice that leads men back to the fold of God. We will be careful to come back in thy presence and give thee praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. In Psalms, the 8th chapter, verse 5, and also in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, it says, not who, but what. What is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou did visit him? Then it continues. It said, thou hast made him a little lower than angels. One place says gods. Thou hast made him a little lower than the gods. Thou hast crowned him with loving kindness and tender mercy. But there it says, thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. When God made man, he is crowned with honor and glory. It said, thou hast placed all things in subjection under his feet. But in Hebrews, it said, quoting the Psalms, it said, we do not yet see all things yet under our feet. I'm going to ask you to do one other little thing for me now. Just briefly. Stand again, please. You are the greatest thing that God ever created. God made things seen and unseen, natural and spiritual. You can look into God's stellar heavens, or you can look upon this earth. Do you ever thank God for the beauty that's on this earth? The grass, the trees, the water, the sun, the birds, the animals. Like Glenn said, get up and rejoice every day that you're alive. And thank God that He let our eternal spirits come by this earthly abode these few short years. When you look at it that way, it makes all of the heartaches and difficulties well worthwhile. Like the song, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. This is a great world. Look at your fellow man. Look at yourself in the mirror. You're the greatest thing that God created. Because the earthly things perish with using. But man is an eternal spirit. He came from God. He dwells in God and he goes back to God. He has a physical body that gives him world consciousness through the five senses. He has a soul which gives him self-consciousness, his willpower, his determination, his reasoning, imagination, conscience, and affection. And but man is a spirit, he inhabits a body, and he possesses a soul. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You are somebody in Christ. You were designated to be someone on this world. You're not an accident. You're not a happen soul. And you're not the least in God's kingdom. When God said He'd pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, Joel 2:28, there's a second thing. He says something else. And I'll pour out My Spirit upon My servants and handmaidens, the little nobodies in the kingdom of God. All of us ought to stay as a nobody. But God's going, in this last move of God, God's going to bring them out of the woodwork. Not to make you famous. Not that you can build a hierarchy and a kingdom yourself. People say, my ministry. We don't have any ministry. It's His ministry. But now I want you to go through this little exercise with me. God placed you on this earth. You're created in the image of God. You have an eternal spirit. God didn't want you and me to live bound by any force or any person or anything upon this earth other than God and His eternal laws. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
He that the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, since God created man, what is man? He's created in God's image. He should be crowned with honor and glory. And he should have all things under his feet. Ephesians, the first chapter, Christ is seated in the heavenlies. And we, that like the prayer a little while ago, we're seated there in the heavenlies with him. All right. The first thing under our feet is sin. The Holy Spirit comes to convict us of sin, of righteousness and judgment. Don't kid ourselves. If we have a public meeting, and there are people there that are lost, or prodigal sons or prodigal daughters, and the Holy Spirit doesn't convict, we haven't had a Holy Ghost meeting. We think we have. We think we have. Our emotions, yeah, praise God, a little tingle in her spine. Amen, hallelujah. Now the Jericho march. But has the Holy Spirit, Jesus said it, I didn't say it. He said He'll convict of sin, of righteousness and judgment. Now I believe in old-fashioned salvation. He doesn't save you in sin. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. God has a godly, holy walk. And I've heard so much about grace lately, it's disgrace. Almost every church, anywhere on the road or anything, if I'm not preaching, I try to get in church somewhere. And they use grace to disgrace. To live any kind of loose life, God's grace. You're going to be surprised. The Bible said that he that doeth these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:19. Well, let's put sin underfoot. If you've never been saved, you can be saved right now. Just ask God to forgive you of your sins. God didn't commit your sins or my sins. We committed them. And we have to confess them unto God. Now, Lord, we put all sin underfoot in Jesus' name right now. Forgive us of all of our sins. Cleanse our heart from all our unrighteousness. Everybody say amen. Second thing I want you to put underfoot, and if you have to stomp once, I'm not stomping the floor, but if you have to stomp once, it helps. Sin is underfoot. Amen?
Amen.
Now, sickness and disease ought to be under feet. In my lifetime, it grieves and breaks my heart. He and I have seen a time way back when all Christians believed that we were around, believed in healing. All ministers prayed for the sick. Think about it. Every one of them. Now it's almost like a strange new doctrine to us. Christians ought to be walking in divine faith. Come on. Christ is the Savior and He's the healer. Jesus Christ never healed the sick and left them in sin, and He never saved anyone. Thy sins be forgiven, unless He said, take up your bed and walk. Let's put sickness and disease underfoot. In Jesus' name. If That spirit that raised Jesus from the dead willing, it'll do what? Make alive, quicken your mortal body. Are we believers? Now, satanic forces. Not only sin, sickness, disease, but everything that smells of the devil.
Amen.
Boy, I've been amazed. Did you ever smell any of these radical sins the Bible lists?
Yeah.
I have.
Yeah.
A fellow's supposed to be a great prophet and all. Boy, he got out of his car and I got out of mine, and you know, the spirit of fornication knocked me down. And it wasn't bodily odor. The foul, evil spirit. Sick and disease underfoot. Sin is underfoot. And demon power. Stomp it in Jesus' name. He said, I give you power over some of the enemy. All the enemy. Believers, in my name, they'll do what? Mark 16 chapter. Cast out devils. Not only preachers, but every believer has this dominion and authority. You're not in subjection to doubt and fear and the devil. You're in subjection only to Jesus Christ. You shouldn't get up at morning and say, oh, I'm afraid the devil's going to be after me today. You ought to leap out of bed and demons of hell say, my God, there she's getting up again. Let's get out of here. All right. Then we've got to put fear underfoot. Come on. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and sound mind. Put foot in Jesus' name. Put that foot on fear. Then, well, the old man gives me trouble. I've heard so much about the old man the last 10 or 12 years that sometimes I wonder if they changed the name of Jesus. They preach the old man more than they do Jesus Christ, the new creature in Christ. If you're having trouble fighting the flesh, you're fighting the wrong battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's including your own flesh. Get over it. You're too self-centered. Become Christ-centered and the flesh doesn't bother you. You're fighting the wrong battle. You're fighting the symptoms instead of fighting the root cause. Old man, get underfoot. Come on. Put Henry underfoot. Clement underfoot. Glenn underfoot. Carla underfoot. You're dead. Crucified with Christ. Don't keep pumping up and talking about it. Trying to get artificial respiration to the old man. Good Lord. Then he was made poor that we might be rich. And the last, there's seven things probably involved in this, but the last is money. Poverty is not lack of money. But anyway, that's not the sermon. Let's put a foot on all kind of poverty. In Jesus' name, poverty of spirit. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Second Timothy 1:10, Christ has already done away and eradicated death.
Amen.
We make no covenant with death. So let's not make, if God takes any of us home, thank God, it's a glorious coronation day. But we're not going to talk about it, and we're not going to covet death. Amen. The Word of God said, that I shall live and declare the works of the Lord to my generation. Praise God. And I'll tell you when Christ is coming back again. You like to know? Christ is coming back again. I don't believe in the secret rapture and all of that and escapism, but I want to tell you, He's going to come back. The same Jesus, Acts the first chapter, the same Jesus, come back in like manner as He went away. But Christ is coming back, and I'll tell you when He's coming back. It says, we do not yet see all things under man's foot. And then the last enemy, 1 Corinthians 15:26, that will be destroyed is death.
Amen.
God, Christ has already destroyed death.
Amen.
You say, when Christ comes back, and we preach it and all the funerals and all, death will be destroyed. Death's already destroyed.
Hallelujah.
Now, Christ has defeated sin. We got to defeat it. He defeated sickness, disease. We got to defeat it. He defeated demon power. We got to defeat demon power. He destroyed fear. He said, fear not, fear not, fear not. We've got to destroy it as a church and keep it underfoot. Poverty, put it underfoot and keep it underfoot. The old man, the old nature. Anytime the old man pokes his head up, say, hey, you're crucified. Take the hammer of faith and hit him on the head and say, lay down there, Clinton. Lay down there, Glenn. You're dead with Christ. Amen? Get back in your... That's one casket I believe in, the old man being dead. But in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, that second chapter speaks again of Psalms 8. What is man? But there in the 10th chapter, I believe verse 13, it said that Christ, again it says, Christ is seated in the heavens anxiously. He's on the edge of the seat. Anxiously waiting to return. See, his enemies have got to be destroyed by his body. And the last enemy is death. And when we start living in the resurrection and the life, perfect and divine health, guess what? It's just time for the Father to signal and say, all right, son, now you can go. They've conquered all of those enemies. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. In the scripture that we read to you, 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, I want you to notice first, if there's some guests or visitors here, a lot of things are new or questionable in your mind. God bless you. We love the same Lord you love. And finally, the Word of God is not to argue about. It's normally not to even defend, you know. I've seen young ministers, they want a picture made holding a Bible in defense of the gospel, like Paul. And they're green as a gourd, you know. Not dry behind the ears. But it said that God, notice verse 28, said God set in the church. How many believe they're believers, the body of Christ? Some of the body is still on this earth today. All right, then. It said God set in the church. That does away with all of it, died out with the apostles. That's just one little thing, but nothing died out except faith in God. All right. God set in the church these gifts of the Spirit, and they'll be there to the rapture of the church. I hate to bring up on an audience sometimes and share my own grief and my own sorrows, but did you not know that if you spend time, you will have a personal relationship with the Lord of glory? That's what salvation is. But if you spend more time, you'll find out you'll have an intimate personal relationship with the Lord. The most real person on earth is the Lord Jesus Christ to you. And then, if you go beyond this, and there are depths we haven't reached, and heights we haven't reached, and breadths we haven't reached. If you're not hungry and thirsty after righteousness today, then you're stuck somewhere in backslidden religion. Did you hear it? A perpetual newness. The more you get of God, the more you want of God. The more God does for you, the more He wants you to do. And more He reveals. 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, about half of that chapter, shows that we absolutely know nothing. It's what, except what the Spirit of God reveals to us. Oh, you know a few little earthly things. You know a few little religious formulas, but they don't mount a hill of beans. And they'll all just melt away in the light of eternity. It shows that man can know nothing in 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter except what the Spirit of God reveals. You don't even know who Glenn is. In the natural, you know his name and his looks. Someone show you a picture, you say, oh yeah, I know him, that's Glenn Miller. But in the spiritual, you never know who another believer is unless God starts revealing it to you. I'm not trying to draw attention to myself, but I remember we had a rally down in South Florida, and half of them were Orthodox Jews, and half of them were Messianic Jews. You'd think it'd be a knockdown drag out that night, but God had mercy, and the Spirit of God was there in such a wonderful way, and we almost couldn't all leave. You know, it got 10:30, 11 o'clock. But a big tall man came and got a hold of me, slim, and again weeping held on me, and I thought, well, I wonder what this is about. He said, Brother Clem, I never knew who you were until God showed me tonight while you were preaching who you were. He wept and cried and said, my pastor, I said, no, I don't want an accusation against your pastor, brother. He said, but I've got to tell you this part. He from the pulpit said, what's old Clement Humbard hanging around here for? And he said, I wondered that too, but tonight I sit in this meeting and God showed me who you were in the spirit world. I don't mean someone great or this or that's not what I'm talking about. Who knows the things of man except the Spirit in man? 1 Corinthians 6. But who knows the things of the Spirit except the Spirit of God? And it said, God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. And I pray that God will reveal the depth of truth concerning the spiritual gifts that God set in the New Testament church. Now, the three things here that I'd like to call your attention to briefly. It said this, there are diversities, verse 4, of gifts, but the same Spirit. Then the next verse, now that's gifts of the Holy Spirit, God said in the church. Then the next verse said, there are administrations, differences in ministrations, but it's the same Lord. Some of those administrations are mentioned in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 11. Before Christ ascended, He descended before He ascended. It's quoting Psalm 68. This is Ephesians 4th chapter. And He ascended and gave gifts unto men. Psalm said the rebellious also. Ephesians says gifts unto men. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, evangelists. Now, the whole religious world today makes the evangelist subject to the pastor. Well, God bless us all. We don't have spiritual awareness to realize God's never doing just one thing. You may go to the hospital to pray for a relative that's dying, but that may not be the real purpose God's sending you there at all. It might be someone on the elevator. Do you hear me? God's never doing one thing. Every supernatural work. So that night during the sermon, everybody thought this is a great miracle. It was. God did it. It's an instant miracle. She got up here. But there's a little holy hush at me when I was preaching. That's the only way I know to describe it. So I just calmed down a little. A man collapsed. A lady screamed, oh, my husband! Get an ambulance, get a doctor, my husband. God had already given me the witness. Sometimes He tells you who they are and what they're doing or even their name. But other times, you don't need to know all that. Let God do it. We don't have to do it. We're not doing it anyway. So I didn't even know this was going to happen. But I knew God was going to do something supernatural. Now in the natural, I'd have got up, oh yeah, God's still on the throne. You look quite a miracle working God. Now line up and come. I'm God's man of power of the hour. And I'm going to touch you on your head and slap you on the back. And the ushers, I'll push you and push you and push you till the ushers have to catch you. A lot of kids play angels weep. Where is God? So that man collapsed. And I said, lady, ushers, I'll be responsible for that man. He'd never made a profession of faith. And he's sitting there opposing the gospel. Now, when God slays sinners, you never have to get down there and say, now, brother, would you let sweet little Jesus come into your little heart, honey? Or when God slays them. I've seen them even in California get up and start to walk out. Down they go. Can't know how. Dressed to kill. Never been in church in her life. Any kind of church she ever knew. Got up and started to stomp out. And most eyes, half the congregation looking. There's an audience about, 1,600. There she goes. Her aunt screams, oh, that's my niece. Someone get it up. I said, lady, just calm down. I'll be responsible for that girl. And here's what they do. They want to come and take the microphone through the tear and say, they say something like this. Thank God he didn't let me go out of here and go to hell. You know, we're getting this stuff cut and dried and all the rest. Now, here's what God did. That invalid lady in Mansfield, Ohio, God didn't leave me. And I didn't have enough human zip and zest, you know. Now, the pastor excited. He wanted all these, oh, boy, let's bring in all the invalids. Well, I'm for that, too, if God unctions it. But God is going to do something new. That wasn't what God did in that service. And you know what? Every person that tried to get out of that meeting, backslid or lost, was slain by the Spirit. Not one person touched them. Not one person laid hands on them, argued with them, or prayed with them. And boy, I want to tell you, I had ministers from out of town the next day trying to look me up. I wouldn't answer the hotel door. Pastor came, and he said, "Brother, you owe it to me to tell what's happening." I said, "I'm scared to death it won't happen again. You were there, you tell me." 6 solid weeks, different cities across America. I never told a new audience what's happening. See, because humanly we could almost explain some of this stuff. I never told them. Oh, it's so awesome that God wouldn't let a sinner or backslide. I know it wasn't me. It's grandma's prayers and mother's prayers and the mercy miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, in 1 Corinthians, here, verse 4, 5, and 6, we have what? Gifts of the Holy Spirit. God sent them in the church. Can someone say amen? Amen. All right, we have administrations of the Lord, and that certainly is apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. They say fivefold. The old timers said fourfold ministry. They always listed together the pastors, teachers. All right, administration of the Lord. Then it said in the next verse, verse 6 here in 1 Corinthians, it said operations are miracles of God. One of the ministers, God bless him, was saying, don't put God in a box. Right? All right. You don't know how much truth that is. That we, you know, we always try, well, we know that, we've experienced that, this is the way God does that. Now let me explain it to you. A lot of bunk and baloney. God's new every moment. Thank God for what God does in the past, but, you know, it's pretty hard to drive looking through the rear view mirror. You better pay attention to what God's doing ahead and where He's leading and where He's taking us. So it says operations of God. God can work through the gifts of the Spirit or without the gifts of the Spirit. God can work through the so-called fivefold ministry, or He can call a little feeble widow woman living on Social Security and can't make ends meet. He can use her for His honor, for His glory. And one thing, forget whether people know who you are and what you're doing. That doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Christ Himself made Himself of no reputation. Some of these ministries, their promotional guys that spend millions of dollars promoting a name, and it's not the name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, you have sour grapes, Clem. No, I don't. I know most of them, and God bless them. But there are administrations for the Lord. And there are operations of God. And there are gifts of the Holy Spirit. God placed these gifts of the Holy Spirit to form a particular pattern. And I already said from Joel 2:28 and 29, quoted on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:17 by Apostle Peter, it says that upon His servants and handmaidens. To me, that's the little, unknown, forgotten people. And long as you know who God is and who you are in Christ, just stay faithful to that calling. And it makes no difference whether the camp knows you have a prophetic gift or you. I had some people call in, sisters coming through here in a new Cadillac Escalade, and they were taking me down to Texarkana to see a fellow bestowed with the title bishop. Good Lord. I thought maybe I could help them and bring them into the humility of Christ, but was I fooled? You can send $25 through the mail and get you a certificate, and they'll call a bishop. But the Bible said it, the biggest fool is the man who sees himself. The greatest apostle to us, take everything in consideration, would be the one called out of due season, Apostle Paul. Is that right? He hardly ever said he's apostle. Once in a while he had to defend himself through all this religious system. Said, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Christ? Okay. But most of the time, read the openings of his epistles, practically every one. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Are you a servant? Yes, God, I'm an heir and joint heir. Well, I've covered that before. You still have to remain a servant to be a disciple. It's like blocks you're laying, a foundation. To be a disciple, then be a friend, then be a brother, then be an heir and a joint heir. And if the servanthood doesn't remain, we're just a blowing lot of hot air, blinded by our own conceit. Okay, these gifts of the Spirit. What does the Bible say in Isaiah, the 11th chapter? No. First, I better go to Isaiah, the 61st chapter. And you remember it's quoted in Luke, the 4th chapter. And it said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is the prophetic of Jesus Christ. And it happened in his ministry 600 years later, 600 to 700 years later. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Christ claimed this in Luke, the 4th chapter, where he quoted half of it. He entered the synagogue and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Did you not know that Christ performed no miracle? We have no record of any miracle, any healing, any raising of the dead until God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, Acts 10:38. Then he went around about doing good, healing all that were pressed of the devil. And the anointing was upon Christ. That same anointing that's upon Christ should rest upon the body and the members in particular of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Yes.
Now another thing or two. In Isaiah the 11th chapter it said, "There shall come a shoot or a branch out of the stem of Jesse." And this is concerning through the lineage of this family. It said, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall go out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." And I just quoted Acts 10:38 and Isaiah 61 and Luke 4:18. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He took the Spirit for Christ to perform his miracles, and it's going to take the Spirit of God upon the body of Christ. It's like the Bible said, believers, these signs will follow the believers. Then they're not following the believers. Then we better put a question mark. What are we believing? Who are believing? Who are we believing? It said these signs shall. Not you run after signs, said they'll follow you.
Amen.
What kind of footsteps or footprints are you leaving behind you? All right. "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." Now I want you to get this. First, it said the Spirit of wisdom. Second, the Spirit of understanding. The third, the Spirit of counsel. Fourth, the Spirit of might. Fifth, the Spirit of knowledge. And of the fear of the Lord. Now I want you to notice this. The church has been in error for hundreds of years. They call the sick spirit the fear of the Lord. That means a reverence. This didn't say it's a spirit. It said the spirit of knowledge, and it is a characteristic of the branch. He will have a reverence. That word fear in this sense here is a reverence and respect for God his Father. He'll only do what God does, only speak what God wants him to speak. Now, much of the Word of God is hidden to the casual observer. You want everything right quick, instant coffee, you want to drive through a limit. You mean to have to prepare that hamburger, be only a couple of minutes? No, I don't have time. I'll go somewhere else, I'll get a hot dog over here. We instant, you know. You can't do that with God in God's Word. You got to stop and take time. Now the casual reader says, oh, praise God, the fear of the Lord will be upon him, and that's the sick spirit. It is not. And I'm going to prove it to you. It's not. Read on. Hidden to the casual observer. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. We don't walk by sight or hearing, we walk by what? Faith. The sixth spirit is the spirit of faith. So put a little question mark if you mark your Bible by that spirit of fear, and then write faith. And watch this. And with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. All right. The original words, and I've covered this part before here, it's the word, I think, in the Hebrew, ra. And it means divine compassion. You can do your study and look that up on your own. You'll find I'm telling you the truth. The seventh spirit is spirit of love. Here they are. Wisdom. Counsel. I mean understanding. Wisdom. Understanding. Counsel. Might. Knowledge. Faith. And love. Now, turn back to 1 Corinthians 12th chapter. Not in this particular order, but it said, there are gifts of the Spirit, and God gives to every man severally as he will. To one is given the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom comes from the sevenfold Spirit. Oh, Brother Clement, what are you saying? I'm just preaching God's word. Go to Revelation 1:5. What does it say? And in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of this earth. Back to verse 4. Grace be unto you and peace. Him who is, was, and who is come, and from the how many spirits in verse 4? How many? Seven spirits. All right, Revelation 3:1. And that's Holy Spirit, capital Spirit. Said there's seven Holy Ghosts. Oh, Brother Clem, that's... My, you're preaching heresy. Is that right? How about the Shema? Hear you, O Israel. The Lord thy God is what? One. I thought this Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Paul said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Quit trying to figure God out. Get the kinks out of your back. Love God, love everybody, and start living a godly, fruitful life for God. Amen. All right. Revelation 3:1. To the angel of the church of Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Look at Revelation 4:5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders, seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. One more. Revelation 5:6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the midst, and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the world. Now, The Holy Spirit is going to rest upon Christ, which it did. The Holy Spirit is to be also outpoured upon the body, the church, that they might know, that they might be, and they might do. That's why the Holy Spirit is here. That you might know that the things of God and know who you are and who God is. That you might be. We always hear the last, we might do, empowered by the Holy Spirit. But no, it's always this order. Galatians 1:15-16, Paul said, to him, in him, and then through him. All right? So the seven full spirits should rest upon the body of Christ. Is that right? All right. We should be anointed by the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit Jesus was anointed by. All right? So what is the first Spirit is Spirit of wisdom. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, he said this, to one is given by the self-same Spirit, to one is given wisdom. That is in verse 8. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. The sevenfold Spirit bestows the nine spiritual gifts in the New Testament church. Spirit of wisdom, God's a God of order, bestows the gift of wisdom. The second Spirit of understanding bestows the gift of discerning of spirits. How we need that in the New Testament church. Then, the third Spirit in Isaiah 11 chapter is the Spirit of counsel. It bestows the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and the gift of prophecy. You see how beautiful God's Word is? Then, the fourth Spirit is Spirit of might. It bestows in the New Testament church, among the nine gifts of the Spirit, it bestows the gift of miracles and the gifts of healing. Number five, the Spirit of knowledge shall rest upon him. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, to another is given the word of knowledge. That's where it comes from. Then, I said I was going to prove that the sixth Spirit was not fear, but it is faith. Paul said to another is given faith by the same Spirit. That's the sixth Spirit, Isaiah 11 chapter, bestowing in the New Testament church the gift of faith. All people have faith. But we're talking about a supernatural gift of God. And just stay with me. I'm going to show you something important to you while you're on this earth. And the seventh Spirit, you remember I told you, is the Spirit of love. Paul didn't say, well, now I've written this chapter and the Spirit of God moves on me. When I go to Rome, get in prison, I'll write chapter 13. No, our Bible wasn't divided by verses and chapters. He just kept writing. He said, I show you a better way. A road to get on. Though I have the tongue of men and angels and have not love, if it's not operated by the pure essence of God Himself, God is love, and as He is, so are we in this present world. 1 John 4:17, He said, I'm a tinkling cymbal clashing, making a lot of noise. My dad used to say, if you don't have love and you have tongues, you're the garbage cans hanging in a bag on the back alley waiting for the garbage collector to collect you up. And though I have understand all mysteries, 1 Corinthians 13, chapter verse 2, and I have all faith, I can remove mountains. Come out here and I'm going to watch you jack mountain in the name of Jesus. Go. Be cast into that sea. Boy, wouldn't that cause worldwide news. But I'm a farce and a fake if I have not love. He said, I am nothing. You know, when God calls you nothing, you're not even a big zero. You're just non-existent at all. So here's the sevenfold Spirit bestowing the nine spiritual gifts in the New Testament church. All right. Now, why are you on this earth? One of the great important reasons you're on this earth, God in His foreknowledge and His sovereignty knew that the gospel would reach you and that you would become a believer. But you remember Matthew 25? Christ gave the parable of the talents. And I almost hate to get in this part because sometimes we're not fully responsible till we hear the truth, and when we hear it, we are responsible. Or ever should the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken at the pitcher, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the spirit return unto God who gave it, and the dust, the body, the dust shall return unto dust from whence it came. Ecclesiastes, and that's not the only scripture. Jeremiah 1:5, God said, Jeremiah, don't start telling me you're a child and you can't preach or prophesy. He said, I knew you before you was formed in your mother's womb. Psalms 139, I won't get into much of this. But did you know your eternal spirit has been eternal that way and this way? It's the mystery of godliness. Your spirit was given of God. Your spirit existed before your dad and mother ever got together and you were conceived. God says it over and over. He said in Psalms, the members of your body is already numbered before you ever existed. My Lord and my God, what a Savior. One reason you're on this earth, God has given each and every baptized believer. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. God has given each and every one of us at least one of these 9 spiritual gifts. When I was young, this was taught far and wide and believed. But finally, even dear friends of mine, great men of God, like Lester Sumrall, we're very close to him. He said, oh, no, I got the Holy Ghost and God can do any and all of these things anytime he gets ready. Then rip 1 Corinthians 12th chapter out of your Bible, please. The Bible plainly says, I don't deny that some people may have all of the gifts, but the Bible says 3 times here. 3 times. It said in verse 11, the same Spirit dividing to every man severally as He will. For to one is given this gift. To another is given this gift. To another is given this gift. Then when he gets down to verse 27, what does he say? He said, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And 3 different times he said, all of us are not hands. All of us are not eyes. All of us are not feet. All of us are not ears. If God makes you an ear, quit trying to be an eye. In an emergency, my hand can take the place of my foot, but that's temporarily. I don't limit God. But it shows that at least you and I are going to be accountable, our eternal spirit, for at least we're going to be accountable for at least one of these gifts. I've heard people, the old timers, you say, I fasted and prayed, God gave me this gift. Well, maybe that's true, but I think you fast and pray and God gives you an awareness of what's already there. You just haven't known it and recognized it and got it and developed it and used it for God's honor, for His glory. For as I'm concerned, and listen, don't be too critical. I preach this message in seminaries and Bible colleges and Bible schools on 4 continents. And the higher they're educated that believe in the Spirit of God, the more they come and say, Brother Clement, thank God for that message. So we've got so homogenized today, there's no Blue John, there's no cream, there's no whole milk or anything else. And just everybody and nobody. We need people with the gifts of healing in their ministry today. No him or whore. They won't brag and boast. They'll have the humility. We need gifts of miracles today. You'll say, well, the person that's healed, they get the gift of healing. God gave them the gift of... Well, that wouldn't make sense. God set these in the church. And it said, are all apostles? It answers itself in the Greek. M-E, the most emphatic word in the Aramaic Greek. You know, in Aramaic Greek, in the days of Jesus, it's commonly spoke all over the civilized world. When you ask a question, it demanded an answer, either yes or no. And it says, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? It says, no. God bless. I respect these great men of God. But I've heard many of them, most of them are gone now. They say, I'm like Moses. I would to God that all God's people were prophets. Well, I would to God that all of them were saints, that all of them were apostles. And maybe God wills it too, but that's not the plan of God that He laid out. Are all workers of miracles? Said no. God may give you or me an answer to prayer, a mercy miracle. That doesn't mean I've got the gift of miracles necessarily. All right. Then He said, Do all have the gifts? Gifts, it's plural there, of healing. I sat at the feet of F.F. Bosworth. Some of you that read church history and a lot of this pulp today that just floods all of the religious, and it disgusts me. You can go to a gift shop and they have a cute little dish and it says, God bless this home or something, and it's $4. Go to the religious store and it's $24. If you print 500, 5,000 books or 10,000 or 100,000, they're pretty close to the regular price. And it so gets me. We won't hardly even go and buy any kind of greeting card at a religious bookstore anymore. They want $5.95 for something decent. You go in Kmart and it's $1.67. If you can find a decent with the scripture on it. Well, that's another thing. But I sat at the feet of F.S. Bosworth, Raymond T. Ritchie, that great man of God, humble little man, with the gift of healing in his ministry. Personal friend of mine was the late Gordon Lindsay. Back one time he asked, why still a young man? I thought it was about the biggest compliment, greatest I'd ever had. He called me and said, I want to use this material that you've got out in one of my new books. I published something, 39 Signs That the Lord Will Return. And he said, I want to have one signed 40. I said, Brother Lindsay, is it God's Word? He said, oh yeah, it's true. I said, then it's not mine. You ask God if you can use it, not me. All right. Do all have the gifts of healing? Somebody answer me. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Nobody answer. The same Greek. It says this emphatically, all do not speak with tongues. If you're tied up on tongues and it's your golden calf, I pray God will get you beyond that. Some of the most brutal, harsh criticism I've had in Hot Springs the last 6 years is some lady that scorched me out that I don't believe in the Holy Spirit, that I don't believe in the Holy Ghost. How ridiculous. How silly. You know why? She's worshiping at her golden calf. The Bible lists the most important gifts. And then in 1 Corinthians 14 chapter, if you're a Bible scholar, go and read all of it. Don't take half of it. You'll take that, I would that you all spake in tongues. Read the other half of the verse. But rather that you prophesy. Hey, maybe I went to this congregation right quickly. Let's go to Acts. I don't think I've done this since Moundsville, West Virginia, over half a century ago, where God saved 2,100 people in 21 nights. We baptized literally hundreds and hundreds in water baptism each night. God performed signs, wonders, and miracles. To this day, local people claim it's the greatest visitation of God. It wasn't me. I was there preaching every night. It was God doing it. There wasn't a time to dismiss the services at night. So they just... And every one of them was different. It lasted 11 o'clock, 11:30, 12:30. And finally, it went 24 hours a day. I think that's the way it ought to be in great revival. All right, I want you to turn to the book of Acts. And would you like to go through the book of Acts and establish a great fact here that you've probably never heard in your life maybe it would help a little bit. Amen? If not, well, we can go on something else. All right. Let's see in Acts. Oh, this Bible takes a long time because it's... No, it's coming apart. I hope all the pieces get in my heart. Okay. Now, let's go in Acts and discuss the Holy Spirit just a moment. In Acts 1:16, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spake by the mouth of David, spoke before concerning Judas, who was guided him that took Jesus." That's from Psalms 41, verse 9. The Holy Spirit used David to speak. The Holy Spirit can speak in your own language, same as a foreign language. If you think the Holy Ghost can, you limit. And I wouldn't stand this pulpit and be guilty of limiting God the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. If you think the Holy Spirit, I'm trying to get you away from a golden calf, you'll dance around it your whole life, trying to mount the hill of beans for God. Something else has become your God. You build your own idol in a high place, or your golden idol is around the least gift, not the greatest. All right? God said by the Holy Spirit. So, all right, Brother Humbert, what are we driving at? All right, just stay with me a moment here. Okay. Now let's go to Acts, as Acts 1:16. Let's go to Acts 2:4. "They were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it set on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." That's on the day of Pentecost. Now, I'm not trying to be ridiculous, but people say, "I got the Holy Ghost just like the day of Pentecost." I say, "Were you seated?" No, I was flat on the floor. "The sound of rushing mighty wind?" No. "Was the tongues of fire to each one as we received the Holy Spirit?" No. But bless God, we spake in tongues. I'm not against speaking in tongues. I'm against limiting the Holy Spirit that it cannot speak English here. It cannot speak Chinese in China to the believers. You've got to speak in something foreign. Well, you say on the day of Pentecost they all spake with tongues. No, they didn't. If they did, then the Galileans and the Judeans wouldn't have known what the Galileans said. List here, and it's 17 different nationalities, and it said, "How we hear every man," verse 8, "in our own language wherein we were born." Then it lists the places and said, "Are not these all Galileans that's in this upper room? And we hear them, we Judeans hear them." They spake the same language. The Holy Spirit could speak common Greek. Same as could Japanese, Chinese, anything else. Now, I'm simply establishing this. Don't limit the Holy Spirit in any way. All right. Mouth of two or three witnesses, shall every word be established. Let's go to the fourth chapter. I'll try to be very brief here if I can. All right. 29. "Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that we may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal." Verse 30. "Signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Boy, isn't that glorious? And they were all filled with what? The Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God in tongues. What does it say? With boldness. Okay. The Word of God is spoken through the mouth of David in his own language, and then with boldness. I know this is going over like a lead balloon, so I'll try to hurry through it, but you'll have the scripture anyways. 6:10. "And Stephen, full of faith and of power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And they were not," verse 10, "they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Holy Spirit by which he spoke." Read the whole chapter. He didn't speak in any tongue. He spoke in a language anointed by the Holy Spirit. He spake by the Spirit of God, and they understood the language. Don't hear very many amens. 8:29. Brother, let's go back to the book of Acts. Well, that's what I mean. "Then the Spirit said unto Philip," Kashinda Miniah. No. Acts 8:29, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And they led a soul to God. I'm afraid the guy would have whipped his horse in the chair to run off if he ran up there speaking in tongues. Now, 10:19. This is wonderful. Householder Cornelius. Well, let's go on down to 46, so we abbreviate this. They heard them speak. Listen, while Peter, verse 44, spoke these words, and go back and read the words, and he didn't tell them a thing about the Holy Spirit. Not one word. He just told them that God raised Christ from the dead. And while Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on all of those that heard the word. The word was heard. And what did they do? God poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 45. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. There's not one place in God's Word in the book of Acts where they only spoke in tongues. You and I have heard all our life and all the books and all that every place they spoke in tongues. There's not one place where only tongues were spoken. Foreign languages. Here it said they spake in tongues and magnified God. Go to Luke, the first chapter, verse 46. And it's Mary and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, before they gave birth. And they give the magnificent, they're magnifying God. Oh, my soul doth magnify the Lord God, my Savior. Magnifying God normally would be in my own language. And that can be by the Holy Spirit, the same as your tongues by the Holy Spirit. I'll acknowledge yours, will you acknowledge mine? Boy, it's sure quiet. Okay. Now let's go to the next incident. Let's go to 13:2. No, I'm in the book of Acts all this time. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, Kishinda Minia. No. The Holy Spirit said, separate thee, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I have called them. There, the prophet God spake by the Spirit, just like David. And he spoke words. Thank God, if there be an interpreter, it's the same as prophecy, and important. But the tongues in itself, the Bible shows God's divine truth. Now, in 13:9-10, it said this, then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. Uh-oh, that same term is used in Acts 2:4. Filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, O full of all deceit and mischief, thou child of the devil, enemy of all unrighteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind for a season. That's the Holy Spirit speaking. Okay. And then, in 16:6, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the regions of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now go to 19, verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with languages, tongues, and prophesied. The Bible said to one is given prophecy, to another is given tongues. So, what do we find out in God's Word? We find out that the zealous teachers haven't taught us the whole counsel of God, and see, you take, for example, in chapter 20 and verse 23. Now here he's preaching to the Jews and the Greeks, repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and now he's going bound to Jerusalem. Except that the Holy Spirit witness, this is 16:23, in every city saying that bonds and afflictions await me. That's the Holy Spirit warning and telling Paul. But he said, no, this is where God wants me. In chapter 21, verse 4, And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. No tongues involved. They just had the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Also, I believe in verse 11, Paul, and here this prophet grabs Paul's belt and bound his hands and feet. Thus saith the Holy Spirit, verse 11, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind this man that owneth this belt and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And then let's take maybe one more, and that's chapter 28, verse 26. Verse 25, after Paul had spoken one word, well spoke the Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, the Holy Spirit spake even through the prophets of old, not on whosoever will, not upon all flesh, but certain prophets. And what did he say? Hearing ye hear, your own understanding, and seeing, you'll see, but you will not understand. When I was a young man, about 25 years old, I was preaching in Oakland's neighborhood church, big modern church out on MacArthur Boulevard. And they were winning more souls, everybody said this, than practically all the churches combined in the Bay Area, Oakland and San Francisco, during that season. And we'd go out for an annual revival, and the revivals at that time usually last 3 or 4 weeks, sometime only 5 or 6, till God was through. But since this is a denominational church and we were guests, I went to the pastor. Rex, my brother, was with me, but he hardly ever spoke except music night, a little sermonette those days. So I went to the pastor and I said, Pastor, if you'd tell me what to preach on or what not to preach on, I'd just say, Brother, you've got the wrong pig by the ear. Thank you so much. I won't say one word against you. I remember Abbeville, up there in North Carolina, the huge, big Baptist church. They bought 76 acres, and this Baptist wanted me to come. Well, he knew what I stand for. And so he called me in his office and said, now, Brother Clement, I want to tell you the problems we have in this church, and I want you to preach. I said, don't say another word. I got up. I said, Brother, you got the wrong minister. I said, I'll get up and take my text, or I'll try to straighten up the organization. I'll make a mess of it. God didn't tell me to do that. I'll make a mess of it. And you'll have greater problems after I leave than you have right now. I said, if you would just trust me. I trust the Holy Spirit. Well, I trust God. And I said, all right, then we'll leave it in God's hand. I said, Brother, I've seen God in huge churches change everything off of one sermon, and it had nothing to do with the strife going on in the church. That's why if you'll just get close to Jesus, you'll be healed. You get close to Jesus and all these things just melt away. They'll vanish. Well, I'm trying to get rid of my mourning. Well, what's the Bible say? It said they'll come shouting, and it said that mourning and sorrow will flee away. Get so much of God in the natural, nature can't stand a vacuum. In the spiritual, same way. Get so much of God that your doubt can't stay there. Your sickness and unbelief can't stay there. It's crowded out. So, that Sunday morning, I asked the preacher ahead of time. He said, well, what's the sermon? I said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, and He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. He said, Brother, listen, here's a seminary graduate. But he had the gift of interpretation of tongues, but he didn't let anyone know it till later. He did. And he said, is it in the Bible? And I said, absolutely. To start getting scared. He said, oh no, I preached Sunday morning in this huge, big, modern church.
Denomination church.
220 people came to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Among that was a young man in his late teens. He just got saved in Oral Roberts Mead. It was Jack Hayford. It's in 3 of his books. Recently in Florida, he introduced me before 4,500 people and said, the man, it's been over half a century, but that led me, said, I recognize his voice and recognize his looks. And this is one of the happiest days of my life. He's talking to his wife down on the front row. And he said, Brother Clement, humble or introduce me to the Holy Spirit, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit that Sunday morning. 2 hours and a half later, everybody's still in those rooms. Someone was filled with the Spirit immediately, but they stayed to just pray and worship God with the rest of them. And Jack Hayford, if God didn't use me, God would use someone else. But I want to tell you that you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't need a little song and a dance. You need to pour out your life before God. Get alone somewhere and just surrender and empty up. Empty out of everything. Pray. The old timers had a term, said pray through. We don't want to use that, you know. Well, I just got to have it right quick. Pray through. Wait upon the Lord. I happen to know through my dad, the early days of the full gospel and the Pentecostal thing, they knew what it was to tarry. When I was a teenager, practically all of the so-called Pentecostal churches on Friday night, they had tarrying service. They tarried for the Holy Spirit. But then before long, it turned into all these guys run to the youth ladies, and I'd watch, and I could call names, give you addresses, churches, and they'd scratch the young lady's back. Well, she's not there to get a massage. She's there to be filled with the Spirit. I can't quite recognize the two. I'm not afraid of Christians touching each other. I'm not afraid of that. Our family's huggers. And that doesn't worry me. You hug me, or I hug you, but I'm talking. Then, bear with me, please. Love me just the same. Ask God to help you through the Holy Spirit. Love me. And He will. Yeah. But you know what? Then they'd get saved. Say what I say. Glug, 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 glug. Angels weep for Him. Here's the blessed God, His Spirit. And then they worship Him. Let's worship Him in spirit and in truth. You don't need prompting. You need just yielding. Surrender soul, spirit, mind, and body, past, present, and future, into the hands of God. So not only do we need our no-soul salvation with fellowship and intimacy with Christ, not a one of us can get through this life like we should if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And what does the Bible say? Be not drunk with wine or excess, but be filled every day. It's that everyday walk. Be filled and refilled. God can increase our capacity. Don't say, well, 19 years ago, bless God, God filled me with the Holy Spirit and I spoke in tongues. Happiest day I've ever had since. How about today? Amen. Spirit of God, I yield myself. Fill me, Lord. Fill me. And then lift your hands right now. Lord, just fill me. Empty out everything. My God, we just die to self, our ideas, our thoughts, our emotions. We just praise You, Jesus. He it is that shall baptize you with Holy Spirit and power. He it is that taketh away the sins of the world. Yes, Lord, as a yielded vessel. And then, I want you to leave that hand up and I want you to repeat this prayer. Say, dear God, in Jesus' name, show me Thy spiritual gifts. Show me what I'm going to be accounted for at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't want to hide my talent. If it's the gift of tongues, Lord, show me. If it's the interpretation of tongues, show me. Oh God, if it's the word of wisdom, show me. If it's the discerning of spirits, show me. If it's prophecy, Lord, let me see it. Let me hear it. If it's the gift of healing, Lord, I will take it. The gift of miracles, Lord. And above, the love of God shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I'd rather do little in love than a lot of things without love. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen.
This is the end of this. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.